This is Impeachment, a daily podcast from WNYC. I'm Brian Lehrer. It's Tuesday, January 7th. So what exactly is John Bolton up to? This ultimate witness, Trump's former national security advisor, saying he will testify at a Senate trial of Donald Trump, but only if he's subpoenaed. We'll talk about that now, plus more on how impeachment and the assassination of Qasem Soleimani intersect. We're very happy to have back with us Natasha Bertrand, national security correspondent at Politico, who has covered the Trump-Ukraine scandal closely. And as a national security correspondent, she is obviously following the U.S.-Iran situation, too. Hi, Natasha. Thanks so much for coming on again.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So what did John Bolton say and to whom?
So he released a statement yesterday, kind of unexpectedly, saying that he would be willing to testify with the caveat, the big caveat, that the Senate subpoena him. Obviously, the Senate is controlled by Republicans. So right now, it's very much up in the air whether or not they actually will subpoena him, thereby forcing Bolton to testify in an impeachment trial. But he did offer to testify, which was a big development because it puts Republicans in a corner, frankly. It's going to be a lot harder for them now to argue that there should be no witnesses at this trial.
Bolton doesn't need to be subpoenaed in order to testify, right? Didn't most or all of those witnesses in the House Intelligence Committee hearings just agree to show up voluntarily?
Ultimately, they were, most of them, if not all of them, actually were subpoenaed because it gave them cover. So the Trump administration was telling these career officials, or advising them anyway, not to testify, not to provide Congress with documents and testimony about the Ukraine scandal. But the House Democrats would ultimately issue subpoenas, and they would say, well, I have to comply with a lawful subpoena. So it would basically allow them to say, look, I really have no choice here. I'm going to testify. John Bolton, I think, is trying the same maneuver. He wants his career, frankly, within the Republican Party to continue, and he wants to appease his Republican friends and his base. So he is saying, look, if I'm forced to testify with a lawful subpoena that's issued by the Senate, then, you know, I'll have no choice but to do so.
I see there's a Washington Post story from a short time ago that says President Trump objected this morning to the prospect of Bolton testifying, but I haven't yet been able to look into the details. Have you seen yet what Trump is saying?
I have not, but there was the question of whether he would intervene to try to block Bolton's testimony, regardless of whether he is subpoenaed. So the question of whether or not he is going to exert executive privilege obviously is a big one. He has not done so over the course of the entire impeachment process. The White House has just issued a blanket kind of defense saying that all administration officials have absolute immunity, which, you know, certain judges in the courts have said is not actually a real thing. So, but they have not issued, or they have not exerted executive privilege. So it'll be interesting to see whether he tries to shield those conversations he had with John Bolton with that defense.
I see a Politico story, I guess this is by some of your colleagues, that says GOP moderates side with McConnell over Bolton testimony. So do you think this announcement by Bolton is in fact putting any pressure on the four Republicans it would take, assuming all the Democrats voted for a subpoena, to actually make it happen?
Yeah, we're not seeing any signs so far of that. Mitt Romney did say yesterday that he would want to hear John Bolton's testimony, but he did not weigh in on whether or not he would call for a subpoena for that. The line that they've been using over the last day or so is that they don't want to turn this trial into a brand new impeachment proceeding. But of course, during the Clinton impeachment, there was new information that was introduced during the trial, et cetera. So it would not be unprecedented for new information to be presented. So I think this is the defense they're going to use. But ultimately, it'll depend on, of course, how much pressure those moderate Republicans put on McConnell. Right now, we're not seeing much evidence that they'll do so.
How important a witness do you think Bolton could actually be in a Senate trial?
You know, I don't necessarily want to overstate it, because a lot of what Bolton said and did over the last several months with regard to the Ukraine scandal was relayed by Fiona Hill, his top deputy, essentially, on the NSC dealing with issues related to Russia and Europe. In her testimony, she testified that he said things like this was a drug deal that Rudy Giuliani and co. were cooking up, and that this was a hand grenade and it was going to end really badly, things like that, making it very clear that he was clearly opposed to the hold on military assistance aid and the shadow foreign policy campaign that Giuliani was pursuing. So a lot of that we already know, but hearing it in Bolton's own words, along with certain new information about meetings he was in with the president, about conversations he may have had with the president, that would be new, and that would be kind of revelatory. But at the same time, it doesn't seem like he would be prepared to go out to Congress and testify about those conversations he had in private with the president, because he is very old school. He's pretty process oriented when it comes to, what conversations are privileged, et cetera. So I wouldn't raise expectations too far about John Bolton testifying, but he would certainly be an important addition to the Democrats' case here.
Could Adam Schiff and the House Intelligence Committee, which called the other witnesses and is controlled by Democrats, subpoena Bolton themselves?
They could. There is nothing that would require them, for example, to open a brand new proceeding. They could issue a subpoena and just try to get more information to build their case in preparation for the impeachment trial. But so far, we're not seeing any evidence that they're going to do that. Adam Schiff said yesterday that the proper course of action here would be for Bolton to testify in the Senate trial, not to testify again before the House. He hasn't ruled it out. But I think, if they really wanted to play hardball here, the Democrats, they could try. And if Bolton resisted that, then they could say, look, he was never really serious about this in the first place, because there's no reason why he would be willing to testify before the Senate, but not before the House in this inquiry. But I think they're letting this play out first. And when they kind of exhaust their options there, we might see it happen. But so far, no signs that it will.
On the intersection between impeachment and the Iran situation, when Bolton resigned in September, many people first thought that it was largely over disagreements with Trump on Iran, not Ukraine. Bolton wanted to be more aggressive militarily. He always has. While Trump's instincts were to be less engaged and try to get the United States out of the Middle East, at least that's what Trump says. How much do you think that was the case in terms of why Bolton quit?
Yeah, so I think it's certainly possible, because the president had worried over the last year or so that he was actually not being tough enough on Iran. And that's why this came to a head over the last week with the Soleimani killing. It was well known within his circle that he was kind of resisting taking harder action against Iran, because he was actually holding out for a meeting with them. And that was something that really angered John Bolton. He thought that the president should not legitimize the regime in that way at all. And then when the attacks happened, obviously, the president seemed, according to the reporting, to be kind of spurred to action and was given that severe option by the Pentagon, the most dramatic option, and he chose to take it, partly because he was worried about the John Boltons of the world saying that he wasn't being strong enough on Iran. So I certainly think that that disconnect last year contributed to Bolton's departure, but there were also disagreements on Afghanistan. There was a sense by the president that John Bolton was actually too hawkish and too much on a war footing. Obviously, that's ironic looking back on it now. But it's interesting, going back to what John Bolton said yesterday, that he would offer to testify now when the president essentially did what he's been advocating for the last couple of years. So it's all very curious timing, and we don't really quite know yet what the end game is here.
It does seem odd, just as Trump is doing exactly what Bolton wanted. Bolton seems to drop a bombshell out there that indicates he might testify against Trump. Sue in Manhattan might have a theory about how some of this connects. Sue, you're on with Natasha Bertrand from Politico. Hi.
Hi. I was actually wondering whether Bolton might tailor his testimony so it's less damaging to Trump now that Trump is doing what Bolton's been advocating all along.
As kind of a thank you for attacking Soleimani, that
yes,
Bolton would set himself up to testify before the Senate and then say things that would tend to exonerate Trump?
Yes, that was what I was wondering.
Natasha?
Yeah, definitely possible. I don't know whether it's that strategic, but the fear among Democrats, for example, that Bolton might actually not give testimony that's as damaging to Trump as they had expected, is real. And that's why Chuck Schumer has been saying, look, you know, we want John Bolton to testify in the Senate trial, but we're not necessarily positive that that's going to be good for our case. It could be good for the White House. It could be good for the administration, depending on what Bolton decides to say. Going back to what I was talking about earlier, Bolton's reluctance, perhaps, to discuss private conversations he had with the president or with other administration officials could play right into Republicans' hands here. And given the action that the president just took on Iran, John Bolton might indeed soften a bit. So it's not a sure thing that Bolton's testimony, if he actually gave it to the Senate, would help Democrats. It could actually help the president, which is an argument Democrats have used to say also, look, you know, Republicans, if you are so confident that nothing bad was done here and that nothing was wrong about this, then why don't you just call him and take that gamble? But it is a gamble for both sides, to be sure.
Here's a clip of something Trump said in 2011 when President Obama was starting to run for re-election.
Our president will start a war with Iran because he has absolutely no ability to negotiate, to start a war in order to get elected, and I believe that's going to happen, would be an outrage.
Well, obviously, that didn't happen in 2011 or 2012, but can we take that as evidence that Trump has had this thought about starting a war with Iran as a viable re-election strategy?
It's wag the dog, right? So this is not a new phenomenon. It wouldn't be a new phenomenon if this were, in fact, part of a strategy to distract. I mean, it is hard to imagine anything eclipsing the imminent impeachment trial of this president, but that's where Congress has found itself now, on the brink of military conflict, and that is what all of the networks are discussing. At the same time, a lot of the president's supporters don't have this appetite for war, did not vote for him because they thought that he was going to get into more protracted conflicts in the Middle East. In fact, he promised the opposite when he was running. So whether or not this is a coherent re-election strategy, that I don't know. But what this has done, of course, is distract from the impeachment trial. And that, I think, you know, especially given how long we've been tracking Soleimani and the fact that the president has had this option for months and months, it does raise questions about the timing, certainly.
There have been some other revelations in recent days that I wonder if you could explain or give us your opinion of. One is an email from Office of Management and Budget official Michael Duffy, a Trump political appointee, from August 30th, now made public, saying clear direction from POTUS, from the president, regarding the hold on military aid to Ukraine. Can you explain what that was?
Yeah, this is a really remarkable set of emails that the website Just Security was able to publish in unredacted form. So Michael Duffy, was essentially saying to the Pentagon that the hold on military assistance aid to Ukraine was going to continue because the president wanted it to. And that, of course, directly implicates Trump in this scandal, in this desire to pressure Ukraine into investigating the Biden's 2016 interference in exchange for the money that we were giving to Ukraine. So that was actually blacked out. We don't know exactly by who, but when it was released to the public in FOIA litigation, it was redacted, as were all of the arguments that the Pentagon shot back at OMB saying, look, this is potentially illegal. The most strenuous arguments that the Pentagon controller relayed to the Office of Management and Budget were redacted, raising questions, of course, about why the administration did not want the public to see that there were serious concerns within the Pentagon that this could potentially be illegal. What we've seen in recent days is the New York Times actually sued to try to get additional emails between OMB and a top aide to Mick Mulvaney, who is the acting chief of staff, who was the director of OMB, discussing this hold on military aid. They not only redacted them, but they actually have refused to release them in their entirety, which is unprecedented. Usually they redact them, they release them, and people are frustrated because they can't see it was under the black ink. But OMB has actually said, nope, we're not releasing any of these emails. So that adds a new layer, of course, to Democrats' argument that this is a cover-up.
Another thing in the thread of emails is an exchange between Duffy, again, Trump's political appointee to head the Office of Management and Budget, and Elaine McCusker, controller from the Defense Department, who was questioning the legality of the aid freeze as it was going on. And at one point, writing to Duffy, "I am speechless." Can you explain what left Controller McCusker at the Pentagon speechless?
Yeah, and I really don't blame her. Essentially, Duffy told her that if the Pentagon was not able to obligate the funds for Ukraine in time before the fiscal year ended and those funds essentially expired, then it was the Pentagon's fault, not OMB's fault, not the White House's fault. She, of course, had been arguing for the last several months as this hold was going on that this was illegal, that there was not proper authorization for this, that the funds were going to expire, that there was really no way for the Pentagon to be able to obligate them in time before the end of the fiscal year. And then Michael Duffy comes back and says, well, it's not our problem, it's your problem, leaving her speechless, as she said.
Lastly, and I know you're a national security correspondent, not a congressional or political correspondent, but do you have any sense of the timeline going forward in Congress now for impeachment proceedings?
Oof, no, we have no idea. Not even my Capitol Hill colleagues can really tell you that. There's a stalemate right now between Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi. Mitch McConnell has said, we're not going to consider witnesses at all until after the trial starts, and then we'll hear the opening arguments and we'll think about it. And Nancy Pelosi is essentially saying, well, we're not going to send the articles of impeachment over for you to start the trial until we get assurances from you that it's going to be fair, have witnesses, documents, etc. So bit of an impasse at the moment.
Natasha Bertrand, national security correspondent at Politico. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.
Earlier in the series, we took phone calls from listeners who proposed articles of impeachment. More recently, we've been inviting calls from listeners who think Trump should not be removed. Here's one that came in from Bob in New Jersey.
I don't want Trump to be removed from office or even have to face trial in the Senate because the Democrats have not convinced the country that this is enough. However, if they go to the Senate and he is acquitted, what happens this summer when Trump does the next worst thing? The country is not going to stand for another impeachment. Is he going to, say, order the Justice Department to arrest someone from the DNC? Is he going to get reelected and then say he's running for a third term? These things are impeachable offenses. They're worse than what happened in Ukraine, however bad Ukraine was. But if we go to trial now and he's acquitted, I don't think the Democrats can raise another impeachment from scratch.
Thank you, Bob from New Jersey. And now that we've taken a few arguments on the podcast for and against impeachment, we'll open our voicemail more widely again for any questions you have as the process moves forward or any other comments you want to make. Call and ask your question or speak your piece, and maybe you'll hear yourself on the podcast. It's 844-745-TALK. That's 844-745-8255, 844-745-TALK. Impeachment, a daily podcast, is excerpted from my live daily radio show, which we also invite you to listen to. It's The Brian Lehrer Show, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, streaming live then at WNYC.org. See you tomorrow.